Whatever they give me, I'm going to take, you know, every opportunity that comes my way, I'm going to make the best of it. Hopefully, you know, we have him back next week. I want him to play. I love the guy. He's done great things this season. You know, like they say, you know, it's the next man up. If I got to go out there next week, try to do the same thing I did this week, then that's what I got to do. I really want Beast back next week. He can help the team out in a tremendous way. At the same time, if he can't be there, then, you know, I got to step up and I got to make the plays, you know, to help the team win.
I can tell that was Isaiah McKenzie, right, Brayden? There you go. Isaiah McKenzie, thank you. Sal Capaccio here on the Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550. Thanks a lot for tuning in. It's always presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you in part by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. Also by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. We have open phone lines now, some people trying to get in. I appreciate that. 803-0550, 888-552-550. If you want to jump on board, get your thoughts in on the Bills' destruction, demolition, whatever you want to call it, of the Miami Dolphins. The adjectives are appropriate. 56-26 yesterday. And of course, looking ahead to Saturday, 1:05 p.m. against the Indianapolis Colts. Let's take a look at how the Bills fared overall this year in their overall rankings. Now, every week I tweet out where the Bills are in offense and defense, yards per game, yards per play, rushing, passing, points, all of it. And it's interesting, the progression, if you go back and look at from week one to week two to week three, they started off like gangbusters. They were always one of the best teams throwing the football in the league. They were never one of the best teams at running the ball. In fact, they were very low on the list. They kind of maintained all of that all year on offense. On defense is where the variation came, really. On defense, week one, you know, they played the Jets. They might have been high, but after a little while, the defensive numbers weren't that good. They were in the 20s in almost every area. Well, the last half of the year, they really moved up the rankings. Now, here's a bit of the fly in the ointment. They were tracking to be maybe a top 10 defense, actually, at the end of the year in yards per game. And maybe not points. I think they were probably about 11th, 12th, somewhere in there. But the garbage time yards by the Dolphins yesterday hurt them in this regard. And that's all right. That happens. I mean, every team goes through that. So, hey, you know, they had 16 games, 15 other games to be better. But I think the Bills are really a model of what wins in this league today. It's offense. It's throwing the ball. Yeah, you want to have a good defense. Of course you do. There's no disrespect to that. But the best teams, the teams that win the most games, that have the best shot to win the Super Bowl every year, are generally, not always, the best offensive teams. They're the teams that score points, that throw the ball. And the Bills this year, they were the third best team in the league doing that on a per-game basis. Yards per game, third. Passing. Yards per play passing, fourth. Total yards a game, offense total. Second. Yards per play, total offense, sixth. Their rushing yards per game and play were both 20th. Not very good. They have not. That someone pointed out to me, and I didn't realize this, they did not have a 100-yard rusher all season long. I think that's right. Someone pointed it out to me. I'd have to check to make sure. Defensively, though, middle of the pack in pretty much every category, except worse than that, in rushing yards per play, they were 26th in the league, giving up. But yards per game, yards per play, 14th per game, 15th per play, 17th rushing yards per game, 13th passing yards per game given up. And here's the kicker, the points scored. The Bills gave up 23 points a game. That was 16th in the league, 23.4. They ended the year. Now, here, I want you to understand something about this, what I'm about to tell you. They were about 5-6 weeks ago, the Bills were not even in the top 10 in points scored per game. They were 11th, I think. They finished second in the league in points scored per game, 31.3, behind only the Green Bay Packers. That's it. That's the only team ahead of them. And they were at 31.8. They scored a half a point more a game than the Bills. Pretty remarkable. That's how great they've been in the second half. And again, I'll go back to those numbers represent what wins in the league today. Really high-end offense. Really high-end. Good, not great defense, numbers-wise. Although I think they've played great at times over the last week, half of the year. They made those numbers. If you just took the second half, and I haven't done this yet, I think the Bills' defense would be pretty much in the top 10 in almost every category. But there's a full season to play, so you take it all into account. They were winning when the defense wasn't that good early in the season because the offense was carrying them. 803-0550-888-550-2550 on WGR. Let's go to Mo. Mo, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, Sal?
Good. Good to see you on the screen yesterday. And you and Mike did a great job singing the anthem, our singing cops, Mo Badger and Mike. What's Mike's last name? I always forget.
Norwood.
There you go. Thank you. So you guys did a great job.
I appreciate it. Fun fact, we're undefeated whenever we sing at a game. So I think it's like six games. I haven't lost yet. So
well, there you go. There you go. Well, you know what? There's not many times they even lost a game with anybody singing. That's right. But you guys are definitely the undefeated group.
Yeah, but I'm watching the game, and I begin to like, oh, my gosh, I know what these Dolphins fans feel like. Because I remember the Willie Parker game. I don't call it the Pittsburgh game.
Yep.
The Willie Parker game.
Yep.
Like, we were like, I'm yelling at the screen, like, they don't even need to win, and you're letting them beat us. You know, so I definitely have some sentimental, thoughts towards the Dolphin fans. And I'm all with Squish the Fish, but I'm like, man, for y'all to just roll over like that and, you know, you needed that win was unacceptable to me. So.
Yeah, I get it. And, you know, I said earlier, though, if you grew up like I did or you did, or a lot of people, you know, keeping that team out of the playoffs, there was something special to it. But imagine not only being a Dolphins fan watching that game, but then having to watch the Jaguars get close and close and close, but then not pull it off to get you in the 4 o'clock game.
Yeah. I mean, but that's been our life for 25 years, so they deserve a little bit.
That's right.
I mean, I'm riding on a high, man. There's nothing that can stop us right now. And, you know, I put up a post. We're the best team in the NFL, no doubt about it. But it's just been crazy for me because, like, six years ago, I had to make a conscious decision to say I have to stop being so vested in these games. It was beginning to mess up my work weeks. And, you know, just Monday was just – I didn't want to get out of bed. It was just bad. So I had to, like, kind of pull myself back, and now I'm all the way back in it. But at least we got a good team. So I'll ride the wave. It's okay.
All right, man. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You do that. And are we going to see you? Are you going to the game on Saturday? Did you get a ticket?
It's looking promising.
Okay, good. Let's hope that's the case. I'd love to see you there, buddy, if you get a chance.
I'll see you soon.
Okay, bud, thanks. That's Mo Badger, one of the singing cops. So what they do, most fans haven't been at the game, and really no fans have been, but maybe some people listening have been at a game in some capacity with, you know, professional and work and all that. But just trying to tell you how it works. For the national anthems this year, it's been recorded. It's not live on the field. And there's a different person or a group of people on the video board singing the anthem while, you know, people stand at attention. And Mo and Mike, the singing cops from Buffalo, they've done it a few times. They recorded them back in the summer. It's been awesome. They were yesterday. So it was really cool. So I like when Mo calls the program. He's a friend of the show and a friend of mine. Let's go to DJ in Hamburg. Hi, DJ.
Yeah, how you doing, Sal? Great game yesterday. I got a little something I want you to give your scoop on. Antonio Williams had a pretty impressive performance for a short period of time. I don't know how many of the starting offensive linemen were in there, but I want to know if you think that he earned an opportunity to be one of the starters based on what he did, because we really don't have that spark there that I think we need.
I would very much caution against just taking a one-game sample and going away from, you know, the people who are normally on the team. Now, I agree with you. He looked great yesterday. I need to see more of that for me to feel comfortable in him actually trusting him in a real game, a playoff game especially, versus a guy like Devin Singletary or Zach Moss who've been doing that all year. Yes, he looked special yesterday. I agree. He had, you know, we've seen guys do that, and I'm not saying he won't do that. Maybe he becomes a great running back in the league. But here's the thing I always want to remind people, okay, DJ? This coaching staff sees these guys every single day at practice. If they felt that he was good enough to supplant somebody, he would have done it by now.
Right. He made that first run, and the coaches got all excited about it.
Because you know why? Let me tell you. Because these guys, they work their tails off, and when they get a play like that, their coaches and their teammates love seeing that hard work pay off. That's why.
Right.
So hopefully that answers your question. You know what I mean?
You did.
I am not in any way dismissing what this young man did yesterday. I'm just telling you that there is a complete season of work in practice that he has an opportunity to earn a roster spot. And if they haven't done it yet, that tells me they're not ready for that.
Okay.
So hopefully that helps you. 803-0550 at 888-550-2550. The offseason might be a different scenario. And by the way, who knows? Maybe we get to today or tomorrow or Wednesday and we get an alert that says, hey, the Bills just elevated or signed Antonio Williams to the active roster and released somebody. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know. You never know. I mean, Yeldon's on the COVID list. He hasn't been removed yet. They get a replacement for him, a free one. That could be him. But generally, they only have three running backs active anyway for games, and that's Singletary, Moss, and of course, Tywan Jones because of special teams. I'd love... Here's the thing about the Buffalo Bills right now. Their backup players, the back end of their roster, are good enough to be players on other teams. So you don't have to be in a rush to play them because they're still backup players on this team. Right? I mean, think about that. Dane Jackson has been sitting on the practice squad all year, except for a few games he's been up. And he looks phenomenal every time he's in a game. But I'm going to tell you, the Buffalo Bills coaches, they want to win. And if they felt he was a better option on a game-to-game basis, it would have happened by now. So for whatever reason, they're not doing that, but it's also about taking the long-term approach. This is short-term and long-term. Hey, we got short-term here. We got these guys that are really good. We're going to play. We're going to win. We also have other guys that are really good behind them that we're developing them, and they're going to take their spot eventually. It comes down to the word that I've used a few times here in the past few weeks, and I credit Sean McDermott for saying it and making it stick with me when he said it, and I said, that's a great way to put it. The Bills do not just have a franchise. They don't just have a team. They don't just have a roster. The Buffalo Bills have a program. They have a program in place. It's amazing to see this happening. You think about the best college football programs that you remember watching or seeing. Alabama, Clemson, LSU, whatever it is. Whether it's now or previously. And you know, Miami, USC, back in the day, whatever. The best programs are the ones that just keep churning out talent. Guys leave, new guys come in. Guys get hurt, someone replaces them. That's just how it works. It's a program. And by the way, it's not just a program on the roster. It's a program in the coaching staff, and it's a program in the front office. Joe Shane is going to be a GM in this league. He's the assistant GM for the Bills. I don't know if it's going to be this offseason. I don't know if he's going to get a job somewhere. He was mentioned for like three different jobs this over the weekend, and an article I read, he could very well be hired away by another organization. Guess what? Good for Joe Shane. He's a great guy and a talent evaluator, and he's going to get his shot someday, and I'm super happy for him. But when he goes, someone's going to take his spot, and they're going to do really well too because they have a program. And Brandon Bean has a roster full of guys that are just waiting for their shot to show what they can do in that role that he's going to vet and evaluate and trust, and they've been in that program. It's an apprenticeship, and you advance on, and you have responsibility, and you have ownership over what you do and accountability, and then you get to a point where you're ready for the gig. Brian Dable's going to probably be a head coach, I think, next year. And when that happens, the Bills, they're going to have a lot of people ready for that job, or I should say wanting that job, and Sean McDermott's going to have a lot of people that he can kind of choose from, I think, on the outside and also the inside that have been here who know how things work. You know why? Because it's a program. It's a great word. I think it fits completely for this team and this organization right now. It's a good model. It's a great model. Feels good. Jeff in Massachusetts. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Sal. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Got me a little off track when you talk about program, because that's exactly what we have. I just wanted to mention, I'm glad they found that right balance that I've been talking about of playing players and resting players.
Yeah.
I want to keep that momentum in, and that's why I was pushing for it, and the balance was perfect. I also like with McDermott that he's that perfect balance between authoritative coach like a Doug Marrone and then the coach after him. Rex Ryan was more of a player's coach. He fits that balance, and I just love another thing that goes underappreciated, like you mentioned, is starters cheering on the backups. Like that shows a culture that that moving forward, and I coach high school soccer, and I love when, you know, I call up JV guys and the varsity guys are called.
It's about unselfishness, right? It's about wanting your teammate to succeed, it's not fake, right? I mean, you can do that. You can cheer, yay, we scored, but that's guy you're competing with at your position, and it's about feeling good for them and wanting them to, because when they succeed, you all succeed. You really do.
Mm-hmm. That's what's one of the great things about McDermott, and looking forward to Saturday. Indy does make me a little bit nervous with that run game, and the their line does make me a little nervous, but I still have a pretty good feeling. But
all right, well, that's good. I'm glad you do, Jeff, because I think there's a lot to feel good about with this team, and of course, in a one-and-done scenario, you got to bring your A game, as Sean McDermott said. We just heard that clip a little while ago. John and Barker. Where's Barker, John?
Oh, man, Niagara County, way up on Lake Ontario.
Okay, I think I've heard of it, but I don't think I've spent any time there or stopped in. Must be a little bit of a smaller area.
Yeah, most people have no reason to go there.
Okay, what's up, man? Thanks for calling.
Anyway, I've been a Bills fan for years, you know, and watched all the Super Bowls and then suffered like the rest of us have. And, you know, I was talking to my son last night, who's 12, and he is a just crazy fan, watches with me, you know, every game. And I was telling him, I was looking at even just the last three games. I know you cited some stats earlier, but I'm like, you know, I said, Daniel, you know, the last three games, the Bills have averaged over 47 points.
That's amazing.
What? That's crazy, right? And, you know, the one thing I was noticing that I've noticed the last 3 weeks is something that I've always been envious, you know, especially during the drought years, is that I'm watching the Bills sideline and they're having fun.
Yeah.
You got, you know, that video clip a while ago, you know, with, you know, Barkley waving his coat over his head.
That was the Pittsburgh game when they were playing Renegade.
Yeah, and then yesterday, you know, he's used as a decoy and then celebrating the whole time on the sideline. And then, you know, he gets a chance to go in and the punt comes back. They zoom on him again and he's running down the sideline. And it's just, you know, for years, you know, we've been watching other teams. You know, I look at, you know, Green Bay, and, you know, you see them just, they're smiling the whole game, all the time. And, you know, that's not been the case. So I just think it's awesome that we're at this spot, that we get to celebrate, and to see a team that celebrates and has fun and dance parties on the sideline is just, it's just super cool. So
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you know what? It's going to be more cool when we get fans there on Saturday, man.
Oh, I know it. I know it. I know it. It's going to be awesome. And that was the other thing. You know, they're winding the clock down yesterday. I'm like, man, I so wish there was people there, because they would be blowing the roof off them.
I've thought about it so much this year, so many times this year. You know, I really have. So, John, I can't wait to have 6,700 of my closest friends there. It's been a lonely season down there in the bowl. It's been fun being a part of it, but it's been lonely. I miss people.
Oh, I bet. Hey,
thanks.
That's all you do, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that. All right, let me take one more, and then we'll take a timeout here. Ronnie in West Seneca. Ronnie, I think, has a question a lot of people are wondering. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, Sal. Great show.
Okay, thank you.
All the time. Hey, I'm just curious, is there any updates on Cole Beasley, and is there any word about the receiver from the Texans that we were trying to acquire?
Kenny Stills. So there hasn't been. To answer your question, I don't know the status of either of those things. You know, there are COVID protocols to adhere to if you want to bring a free agent in. But I think that may have started last week if they were interested in him, because of the way it works. You can kind of get them ramped up into the facility testing and things like that, or outside the facility testing. Because Kenny Stills did not come from another team, because he was a street free agent, so to speak, he was not going through the testing like a normal player would. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? If he was on another team, and I think it would have been a quicker process. So if they are, and I don't know if they're going to sign him, I mean, all the indications were that they were gearing towards it. It's just a bit of a different scenario there with him than someone else. And as far as Cole is concerned, we don't know anything yet. All we know is Sean McDermott called him week to week. We know that he's trying to get back on the field. I will say this, though, Ronnie, it's great to have Cole Beasley. We'd love to have him. Of course you would. But if he can't play Saturday, I think the Bills realized, and we all realized, that Isaiah McKenzie can play the gig.
Well, not only can he play the game, but I'll tell you, somebody needs to sign him up for Dancing with the Stars.
There you go, buddy. There you go. I appreciate it.
Three scores.
Thanks, Ronnie, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. We still got sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, all of your fun things to get to and more of your phone calls on the way on WGR.
I feel like I'm night and day compared to what I was last year. Obviously, I feel like I still have the same confidence when I step on the field, but just understanding this offense better, understanding my players better, having an understanding of the defense a little better allows us to be in a better spot. Having a home playoff game, we've got to go in there and do our job, go try to do what we set out to do before the season. And this all means nothing. It gave us a chance. It gave us a chance that we wanted, and now we got to go take it.
There's Josh Allen, who, by the way, becomes the official starting wide receiver of record yesterday because he split out wide. Devin Singletary took the opening snap. If you go back in the game book, Josh Allen was the official starting wide receiver. Devin Singletary, the official starting quarterback for the game because he took the snap there. Now, someone points out to me. Let me see this. Okay. Someone points out to me that Elias is actually counting Josh Allen as a starting quarterback. All right. Well, maybe. Okay. I appreciate that, Dan. I'm going to look into how the NFL is going to do it because I do see Josh as a 12 starter for the... All right, so I'll take a look at that. We'll see. 803-0550, 888-550-2550 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. All right, maybe I'll have to... I just tweeted that out too, but it does look like maybe they are giving him the start at quarterback instead of Devin Singletary. Maybe. We'll see. I'm going to take a look at that anyway in the break, and I'll see where that goes. Let's talk about what happened in the league yesterday as well, because a lot was on the line, and some teams just did not do what they needed to do, including, of course, the Miami Dolphins, who lost 56-26 to the Bills, despite the Bills resting Jerry Hughes, who, by the way, Jerry Hughes' consecutive game streak, he had a huge one going, like 120-something games, 130 games, and that's done. I'm sure he doesn't care as long as he wins, but, you know, I'm just pointing it out that he had this literally long consecutive games streak going, and he was scratched yesterday. So was Tre'Davious White. So was Mario Addison. Josh Allen sits in the second half. Stephon Diggs sits in the second half. In fact, you know what? This might be a good time. Can I do my sit-up stand-down right now? Can we do that sit-up stand-down? Let's do that, okay? Because I got something on my mind right now I want to talk about here. And you tell me if I'm right or wrong in these things. Number one, let's stand down. All right, let's stand down today on two things that are bothering me that I read last night. Number one, this goes to Dolphins fans. Dolphins fans were complaining the Bills ran up the score on them, that they're throwing deep and things like that. Dude, it was Matt Barkley as the second string quarterback throwing deep to Gabriel Davis. Yes, he's good. He's a rookie. It was second string players playing all over the place. You don't like it? Stop them. Stop them if you don't like it. What are they supposed to do? They're supposed to go out there and play tiddlywinks? They're supposed to go out there and run belly and dive and quarterback sneaks? Those guys practice every day just like everybody else does. Steve Tasker made a great point on the radio broadcast. He said there's an old adage basically in the NFL that says, hey, you're going to put your backups in. They're going to play just like they normally would. Like they deserve a right to play the game as it normally would be. Something like along those lines. And I agree. Those people work hard every day. They go to work every day just like everybody else. When they get a chance, they're going to try and score. They're the backups. You don't like it? Stop them. That's not a Buffalo problem. That's a Miami problem. That's a you problem, Dolphins fans. You should have stopped them if you didn't like the Bills throwing on them and scoring more when they were up. They pulled everybody back. What are they supposed to do? Take a knee? Hey, we'll take a knee for you, Tua. Just come on and score a couple more touchdowns. Yeah, that's fair. I guess that's what you wanted. Running up the score with the backup players in. They had a running back who had never taken an NFL snap score two touchdowns. Yeah, go tell Antonio Williams he's supposed to dive into the pile and fall down. Go tell him that. For crying out loud, quit your belly aching. You had a chance and you blew it. Period. The other thing, this one goes to Bills fans. Not all of you, some of you. Can we stop, please, with the league is against us, disrespect, and because of a game time on Saturday? And yeah, the Bills are playing the early game on Saturday. Who cares? So what? They're in the playoffs. I know, like, you like the national spotlight. It feels good. And then the notion that they're somehow getting screwed by playing on a Saturday and not getting an extra day's rest to get guys healthy, and they deserve that because they're the two seeds. Stop, please. Stop. Do you think the Buffalo Bills players care when they play next week? Do you think coaches care when they play? They're saying, hey, tell us when the schedule, tell us when we're playing, we're going to be there, we're going to show up, and we're going to keep playing, we're going to stick to what we do. And here's the other thing. When you talk about rest, not rest, short week, long week, that's in relation to your opponent. The Indianapolis Colts do not have any longer rest than the Bills. It's the same. It's 6 days. Yes, would you like to get Cole Beasley back? One more day might matter. Sure, I get it. Every team's dealing with that, though. When the NFL, here's the point on this. Yes, I know that the two seed normally got a bye. The NFL changed the format this year. And when they changed the format, they did not say, but you know what? We're still going to help out the two seed and let them play on Sunday to give them an extra day. They didn't do that. They just said, hey, the two seed's like everybody else. They're just like the three seed and the four seed and the five, six, and seven seed. And there's three games on each day. There's 12 teams playing this weekend. Six of them have to play Saturday. And the Bills got that draw. It's okay. There's no conspiracy against the Bills. If you want to say it's because of TV market size, that's probably right. That's why they get the early game. It's probably right. I know they get good ratings on television in prime time. If the Buffalo Bills lose on Saturday to the Indianapolis Colts, I promise you, it is not because they played the game at Saturday at 1 o'clock and they didn't have an extra day to get Cole Beasley ready. It's because they didn't play well enough. And oh, by the way, I'll point this out to you. If they do win, they're going to have an extra day's rest against their opponent, whoever that is, because their opponent will come out of the Sunday bracket. So they'll play Saturday. The teams that play on Sunday, one of them is going to play the Bills. So you just got to stop. It's just, we don't need to always think about everybody being against us. And welcome this as an opportunity. Here's the way I'll put it this way to you as well. How about this? The Colts get less time to prepare for a great Buffalo Bills offense. That's a disadvantage for them. I'm going to sit up in a second, but let me tell you how this works, all right? Bills win. If they lose, their season's over. If they win, all right, they will wait on Sunday to see who their opponent is. Now, in those games, let me just refresh this and lighten it up. In those games, if Cleveland were to beat Pittsburgh, the Bills will play the Browns. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Let me refresh that. Cleveland would go to Kansas City. I got to do this again. I apologize for that. If Pittsburgh were to beat Cleveland, they will play Pittsburgh. There's no doubt about that. If Pittsburgh wins against Cleveland, the Bills play Pittsburgh. But if Cleveland wins, the Bills will play the winner of the Titans-Ravens game. There you go. So you're not going to know until late. We're not going to know until Sunday night who the Bills' next opponent is, if the Bills win. The Bills win on Saturday, let's say. Ravens-Titans play on Sunday afternoon. We're going to be like, all right, now we know who it could be, but you still got to wait for the Steelers and Browns game to go. And if Pittsburgh wins, it's Pittsburgh. If Cleveland wins, it's the winner of that other game that was played. So it's all kind of confusing, but you get the point. All right, let's sit up. I am going to say something here that is not that popular with a lot of people, but some of you might agree. I have advocated for an NFL draft lottery for a long time. I think it's ridiculous that teams can basically tank on a season and get great quarterbacks coming out because they want them. I think that in some way, shape, or form, have a lottery or do the draft differently. I hate that the NFL just says lowest record gets it. It incentivizes losing. And last night we saw it. Last night we saw the Philadelphia Eagles intentionally not care to win the game, and in fact, maybe even go so far as to try to lose. Did you see what happened? Nate Sudfeld, who hasn't played quarterback in this league in, what, 3-4 years? He had no business being on the field other than to supplant Jalen Hurts. None. And yet they still did it. And you know what? No one, it's because they wanted a higher draft pick, but it kind of gave the division to Washington. And the Giants are sitting at home, and it kind of screwed them. And I don't care about that. I don't care about that part. That's on the Giants. Giants should have played better this year if they wanted the chance at that. If the Giants are mad, that's their own problem. But what is interesting to me is now suddenly people around the league and the media and people are talking about a draft lottery like I have been, because not because of the team tanking, but because Howard gave the division to someone else. But it should be like this anyway. You should never in sports, to me, especially professional sports, you should never incentivize losing. But as long as the system is there, teams are going to do it. People think I'm anti-tank. I'm not anti-tank. I'm anti-tanking system. That's what I am. Stop giving teams a reason to lose. Make it that you need to win to get things. You know, I mean, if you do lose, then maybe you get other things and you got to go into lotteries and stuff like that. That's where I am on all this. So, all right, that was good. See, all year I should have been doing sit-up, stand-down way earlier to get all this off my chest. Sometimes I do it way too quickly. Same thing with Hey Buddy. We got Hey Buddy coming up. We'll take a timeout. We'll do that after the break. Whew, it's been an exciting show today. It's a Buffalo Football Monday. We got One Bills Live coming up at noon. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown, Matty Glab, Shopin' the Bulldog at 3. Eric Wood set to join them at 4. Sean McDermott speaks. Coordinators speak today. Bills are on a shorter week. Yes, they are, practice-wise, because the game's on Saturday, so they'll have a bit of a walkthrough tomorrow instead of having off. Then they'll get back on the field on Wednesday. We'll keep you updated on all of that, and we got a big football week ahead of us on WGR, and we got a break right here, and we'll come back after this. All right, welcome back. WGR Sports Radio 550. We do have a couple callers on the line. I do have a couple minutes. So, Jeff, you're up next, New York City. What's up, Jeff?
Hi. Two things. First of all, Bills do very well nationally in the ratings war. Last year, the wild card game, it was the highest rated game on ESPN for a wild card. So,
yeah, I think, though, but compared to the but it's still that window doesn't get as much rating. You're right. No, I get it. I understand that. But generally, we know that they like to put those flashy big market teams on those later wildcard games. I understand what you're saying, though.
Yes. And the other thing, Isaiah McKenzie had a great game yesterday.
Yep.
Contract's up. He's only making $900,000 this year. Do you think the Bills will make an attempt to re-sign him?
Sure, I think they will. I think they might attempt to sign Andre Roberts, too. As I said earlier, Jeff, it's a good problem to have. You know, they have two great returners. Andre Roberts is a Pro Bowler. Isaiah McKenzie, he makes things happen. So, yes, I think when both of them are free agents, I think they'll both be guys that they want to bring back. But we'll see if they can do that. You know what I mean?
All right, thanks.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate the phone call. All right, it's time to get to everybody's favorite segment of the week. Who's my buddy this week? You're all going to love it, I think.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey, buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey, buddy.
Bunny, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
When I was a college student back at Syracuse University, early 90s, I worked at the local college radio station, WJPZ, Z89, one of the best, if not the best, college radio stations in the country. Great real-world experience. It was not even a talk station. We did some talk. It was a music station, and I was a DJ, too. I wasn't just a sports guy. Spun some tunes. I was a DJ on the radio. So I'm going to be my best DJ right now to tell you who my buddy is this week, because here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, my buddy this week is all of you. This one goes out to the fans of the Buffalo Bills. We are welcoming you back next Sunday, Saturday. I didn't hit the post there. I meant to. That's okay. This one's for the fans. You're my buddy.
Stand up now, come on and shout. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Say you will.
Shout it right now, baby.
Even if you're not going to the game on Saturday, you've been there all year. You're passionate about this team. You've bled with this team, red, white, and blue. It's been a long time coming. First home playoff game since 1996. Man, it feels good.
Make me wanna
shout.
Brayton, how long is that exactly? Like, how many minutes and seconds?
It was like a minute long.
1 minute. All right, we're gonna run it back at 53:50 here, and we're gonna end the show with it. That's what we're gonna do today. Okay, we're gonna run it back. So I got a minute left here. Listen, we're gonna be here next week, no matter what happens. Okay, the Bills play on Saturday. We're gonna be here on Monday, no matter what happens. We'll talk about the season. Hopefully, we'll go into another week of playoffs, but. It is the end of the regular season. As traditionally, we do a lot of times you thank people. I want to thank Brayton. He's done a great job this year. John Simon is on the other side. He's done a great job this year. What other producers have been in here? Have anybody that I'm missing here?
Joe
DiBiase. Yep, he's been in here. What's that?
Kyle Powell's
been in here. So you guys, they've all done a great job. I come in here and share the studio for a brief moment with Howard. He allows me to jump on before the show. We kind of set it up and all of that. But thank you all. It's been a great regular season. It's a new season. We're looking forward to the playoffs. It is Saturday. It is Bills and Colts. Let me set up the schedule on Saturday for you. All right. You got Bills Colts leading off the weekend. All right. With the first playoff game. Then Rams Seahawks at 4:40. Bills at 105. And then the night game, the Bucks and Washington football. On Sunday, Ravens-Titans at 105. Bears-Saints at 4:40. Browns-Steelers are the Sunday night game at 8:15 p.m. We're going to run it back one more time. This one goes out to all of you fans. You are my buddy, and you deserve this more than anyone in the National Football League. Your Bills have a home playoff game on Saturday.
Make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout. Throw your head back and shout. Come on now, the Bills are making it happen now. Stand up now, come on and shout. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Say you will.
Shout it right now, baby.
Say you will.
Come on, come on.
Say you will.
Come on and shout.
Say you will.
Yeah.
Shout.
Buffalo's happening now.
High five and slapping butts.
All about that process, right?